diagonal and scissors. Man body is considered to be the most golden opportunity that we have got. All scriptures have spoken very highly of him. And in scriptures who are speaking, the masters of the past. They say it is a golden opportunity. Why? Because he can know God in this man body alone, and no other body. Fortunately, we all know about the man body. We are all sitting here, some 20, 15, 20, 30, 40, 60, 70 years old people. We have to consider calmly whether we have really known God. If so, we are fortunate, most fortunate. We have joined for that purpose in the very school of thought, and we are bearing their labels. Some of Hinduism, some Christianity, some Sikhism, some Hinduism. That shows we have joined those schools of thought. The main purpose was arising now to know God. And to know God, we must know ourselves. As I explained to you last night, there are teachers and teachers. And also the word master is there. So master, what does specially mean by a master? So I explained to you last night that master is one in whom God is manifest. He is world made flesh. And dwelt amongst us. As the highest aim of a man body is to know God, and to know God first, you must know yourself. Because God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, by the mind or intellect. So it is soul, the conscious entity, which is of the same as that of God. When you know Him, only then we will be able to know God. The first question arises, to know oneself, and all masters of the East and West gave out. Well, there are Greek philosophers, or Latin philosophers, or Persian philosophers, or others of the East, they all said the same thing, man know thyself. So to man know oneself is not at the level of feelings, not drawing impulses. They are both subject to error. Seeing alone. So it is knowing oneself means we are conscious entities, but we are now identified in mind and outgoing faculties, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. We cannot differentiate ourselves, discriminate ourselves from the body and outgoing faculties. So it is a practical question, how to rise above body consciousness. And know oneself and know God. So master is meant, you see, teachers are meant in all subjects which pertain to the outgoing faculties, mind or intellect. So world religion means rings back, leads you to bind. To bind, first know ourselves and bind ourselves to the overflow of God. The one who is adept in that science who knows himself, who knows God, who is aware of God all around him, within him and below him and above him, and make others give way up to have some experience of their self by raising them about body consciousness and giving them contact with the God, the expression power, which is God world, the outer aspects of which are light and sound. God is light and God is sound, which really God is spheres. So, the Master is meant for one who is aware of this world also, knows our condition, where we are passing through this world, and his body appears to be on earth guiding us, but he is the mouthpiece of God. He speaks as inspired by God. They are the mouthpiece of God. And he sees God everywhere and opens our inner of the single eye to see the light of God. So Master, when they come, they give us this demonstration how to rise above body consciousness, how to know ourselves, and we begin to see God. Not in the eyes of flesh and bones, but that the single eye within you, the third eye, latent eye, achieved nature within you, which opens only when you withdraw your attention from all outside, rise above body consciousness to the seat of the soul, body, which is at the back of the eyes. We are at the time of death, soul is withdrawn. When man dying, his eyes are upverted, eyeballs, back the eyes. So he is competent to give you this demonstration of how to have that. So where the world philosophies end, there religion starts. So Master is meant especially for such a person who has solved the mystery of life and also enables us to solve the mystery of life. As he sees, you begin to see. That is why Christ says, I have come to make those people see, those see who do not see, and those who see, they may be blind. What does it mean? We have to draw our attention from all outside. So long as our attention is outside, we see the outside. When it is withdrawn from outside, you do not see. It is all darkness. When you close your eyes, it is darkness, and you withdraw your attention from all outside and drive it whole attention within you, then you see light. So, it is said in Quran that God made man, he came to the center of the world and filled his eyes and filled his ears. When they come, such master comes are sent down to the world for the guidance of child humanity, they come up, they break the fear. When we come to him, we are spiritually speaking blind. The word blind does not mean those who have got no eyes on the forehead, but whose inner eye is not open. So when their soul or their attention is withdrawn from all outside, completely at the feet of soul at the back of the eyes, the demonstration on which given by him to whosoever who comes to him now devotion is love. Those are hungry, they food for the hungry. Those are thirsty, they water for the thirsty. So, by God's grace, who is an earth for that, naturally such masters do appear. Guru appears when the kid is ready. When fire burns, oxygen comes to hell, unhelpful. When the child is born, nature provides milk and mother before birth. That's the law of nature. So when you meet such a master, you go to him, he gives him something to start with. It is just like a man comes up who gives a talk on the business lines, principles, very wonderful talk he does it. With all his informative talk, those who are attending his talk have got no money to with them to start with. Your talk will not help them because they have got no money. If you are so long with your talk, you give him some capital to each one, then your talk is all right. Prajodhanji, the parable of one landlord giving some talents. To one he gives 50, 40, the other 20, the third 10. Then after some time, the master landlord came back, inquired with that man whom he had given 40. He says he had made 80 now. Second one who had 20, he said he had made 40 now. The third one who had 10, he had made 20 now. And the one who had 5, he asked, what have you done? Kita I kept it secret. So masters do give something to start with. Of course, that depends on the background of each man. Some are ready, some are more ready, some have got their background also, and those some are who start afresh now, they're more sincere, more regular. So masters give to all alike the same teaching, the same explanation, how to rise above body consciousness, how to open the inner eyes. Some capital is given at the very outset, some more, others less. These are the teachings given by the word of mouth. You see, one third of all teachings is given by the word of mouth and two-thirds by receptivity. So unless you have got veneration, devotion for the master, unless you become receptive heart to heart, you cannot have the two-thirds of the teaching to the throat of it. So devotion and love is one which can afford us the receptivity. In love and devotion, you see, all duality is gone. It is sold, what part? All the souls are stuck on anything that makes that into two parts. In love, such a soul is stuck between two hearts, they make two into one. I and my father are one. So love and devotion means whole attention. Devotion also means attention. Means veneration to the one who has given you some capital, a wonderful capital, which nobody can give on earth. It is God's grace working through the master, that gives some capital within you already, you testify that it is so. You have not to wait for that for years till we are the world. They give you demonstration something to start. Again I will say, this is one third of word of mouth. So receptivity to have two thirds of the remaining teaching by heart, by receptivity. You know, Christ Hippocrates very clearly, I am the vine, thou art the branches. So long as the branches are embedded in the tree, the vines, they bear fruit, abundant fruit. Those branches which are cut off from the vines, they bear no fruit. You read in Bible like that, isn't it? What does it mean? So you are fully devoted. There remains no gap between you and the Master, the God in Him. So you get the other two thirds of the teaching that you have to give, you cannot be given by word of mouth. So do practices without love or devotion. Do not carry substantial effects, the two-third part of it which is remaining. It is something, by the example you know, one painter of some other country came to a country, he appeared before the king of that place and told that I have a wonderful art of painting, you would allow me to work on that for your presentation, we will show it. And the king agreed, all right, we allotted to such a big hall, one side, one hall of you, one wall of the hall was allotted to him, all of you, go on your painting on that. And the other painters of his country only, they also came up. The king, we also know this art, will you also permit us to show us? All right, then one curtain was laid in the middle of the hall. One side, those began to work, those who came from the other countries, and others of the same country began to go on painting what they had. So king was coming to visit those things, he used to see those who had come from outside, they were doing something. They were painting flowers and this and that. When he saw the other side, our young country, they were not. Clear wall was white, wall was nothing, no painting. When the time was over, those who came from the other country, they reported our painting ready for examination. You kindly come and see. King did go and saw the painting were wonderful, very wonderful. Then the other side, you kindly visit our abode too. At the heart of heart, he knew that we have done nothing. He had been watching all that, but when the curtain was taken out, to the great astonishment of the king, he saw the same paintings on the opposite side of the same, which are done by hand, there are still little spots, regularly here and there, but even that was not in the reflection on the other side. So what have you done? Sir, we have done nothing. How do you know when two men there are working at, what you say, both competition, neither one would not like to show his art to the other, did he not? But then you have the same thing, those they had on the one wall, the same thing on the other, and more clear. They ask you, what have you done? Son, you have done nothing. Then after all, we have been rubbing the wall all the time, so much so, that it could reflect what is happening. You follow? So master and disciple, there is a natural means between the master and the disciple is one with the master. This reflection, I tell you, is had only by the receptivity. As I said, one circular on receptivity, how it is dressed. When nothing remains between you and the master, then that receptivity dwells. Even what is of your own existence, you forget it. I'm crucified in Christ. This is something. Finasi cast in the Persian world. They appear to be two, as Kabir said, in the words of the people, we appear to be two. But it is those who have not met any master. Though we have master, they see the same master within the same man. This is what is meant by Christ when he said, I am divine, thou art God. So long as you remain a meditative being, you will bear forceful fruit. This emotion, this receptivity, when man dwells, he becomes two in one and one two. Some civilized tells us, O Master, let me become a body and you my soul. You be in me, I may be in you, maybe in you. So the people need and say, but I am other one than you are. I am the same as you are. So this is called Guru Bhakti, the devotion to the Master. This is dwelt only your love for the Master. And when your love for the Master, then nothing remains between him and you. Love unifies. And just as an example, love is a soul which is stuck between two hearts, then makes them one. So love and devotion is more necessary, I would say. By that you get something unpowered, I would say. And then this thing is something given by the to whom who are receptive. So those who have been initiated, they should be regular. And also, their mind is attached to outside things. When you want to go to him, he wants, the God will want you to come all alone. And don't bring your children or your body even with you. You forget your body. When two men are sitting in love, you see, absorbed, do you feel anything of their own self? They are locked. They are absorbed. Outer ego of the physical body is lost. This is what is to be dwelt, to have the full benefit of the Master teaching. He is God in man, and we should too make you God in man, and man in God. Every king wants his son to be a king, not a minister. Is it not? So every saint who gives to something on the way, master to definition of the world as I explained you last night and now even I put you in few words, they had become the heirs, the whole what the master has, the God is. And master has the power to give God as a gift. Do you see any other man give such a gift? It makes you, convinces you the daily life to lead you. My way of living has been, whenever I hear about some so-called guru nowadays, I do go meet him and only hear them what he says. Once night I had been to someone, he was being very, very long talk. I sat behind and somebody told it about me being there. He began to give talk, look at what is inside, it's all darkness, it is all flesh, it is all the inner, it is filth, what is in there. If you want to keep on trying to see the outside, he went on down like that. So poor fellows whose inner eyes are not open, they are not to blame. God has not descended grace, condescended to grace to them. You are fortunate. You have had that privilege. You have seen something of the way, not all. Not even one third of what you have to give. You see? Diaries are meant for that. To drive away all thoughts of otherness from within you. We have those thoughts of the outer enjoyments. Maybe of the eyes, maybe of the ears, maybe of the nose, tongue, or physical contact. When nothing remains there, then you are left all alone. All impressions of the past, which are embedded in the subconscious reservoir of mind, those are cleared. And further, when you judge the certainty, the very idea of your being is also consumed in the fire of love. Quran says, love is such a fire which consumes everything except the beloved for whom it got that love. So this is the way of love, without which you cannot have the full teachings, demonstrations, what the master wants to give the disciple. You remember? There's a player who was innocent. May I quote you one example of that? Guru Ram Das was there. His name was Jetha, Jethaji. He came to the master, Guru Amar Das. Generally when the master leaves the body, there are so many people anxious to be mastered after them. Not one, many. Everybody in his mind of mind says, I must become a master. He acts and poses in so many ways so that he may draw the attention of the master. But master sees your heart, not your acting and posing. So what he did, he asked all those who came to him, all right, raise these platforms here. So many feet wide, so many long, so many deep. He started, you see, what are the masters generally people do away, in the beginning at least. They started raising the platforms. When they are ready, this earth is no good, you see. Demolishing brings earth from there, that's a good earth. Again they started raising the platform. When they were ready, again they were examined by the master. That's all he wants. So what was the master thinking? How much color of the mind, how much ego he has lost, how far he has succeeded in such surrender and devotion. So what did he do? He gave him his own place. He became the fourth guru. Yoharam, this is meant by the word love, love, devotion.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first 30 minutes of a talk called Love and Devotion, which was given by Master on November 9, 1972, in Vancouver, British Columbia. Our reader this evening is Eric Love. Go right ahead, Eric.
Thank you. The Master's blessings and love to everyone here tonight. I'm going to start with a talk Master gave called Some World Problems Are Beyond the Solution of Man. And I'm just going to read a few paragraphs. Every day, tensions are growing more and more. The good we are trying to do is like pouring water into the sand. It's just like that. If God sends down some grace in any way that he likes to set us right, otherwise, it is past our care, the care of human beings. Truly speaking, all this trouble has passed beyond our care. We can only pray, O God, the world is aflame. It is past our care. We cannot do anything about it. Would you condescend to send down some grace to set it right? Let God save us in any way he likes. Now I'm going to move over and begin a reading for tonight on on lust and anger, which can be found on Sassan-June of 1975. And I'm going to go down a few pages and begin where it says, there are five passions connected with the outgoing faculties, but two of them are the most dangerous. The first is lust. The second is anger. All are dangerous, but these are the most dangerous. And even between these two, the first is more dangerous. Kabir says, I forgive all sins, but not those who are given up to an unchaste life. These are his words. Naturally, the question arises, what can be said about those who are married? All scriptures tell us that what marriage means, it means taking a companion in life to be with you in weal or woe in this earthly sojourn, and to help each other to know God, which is the highest aim before us. One duty may be that of begetting children, but it is not 100% of our duties. About such a marriage, St. Paul wrote, husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. They should have chaste lives. One duty, as I told you, is begetting children. When you have one or two children, all right, set your example and make their lives sublime. The first thing needed is a life of continence. The rishis have called a life of continence observing brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means the control of all the organs of sense. It does not mean merely control of the animal passions. If a man, and this is Master's quoting here, from a book called Self-Restraint versus Self-Indulgence, written by Mahatma Gandhi. and I'm going to begin again. His quote, brahmacharya means control of all the organs of sense. It does not mean merely control of animal passions. If a man controls only one organ and allows the others to have free play, he is bound to find his effort fruitless. To hear suggestive stories with the ears, to see suggestive sights with your eyes, to taste stimulating food with your tongue, to touch exciting things with the hands, and then expect to control the only remaining organ, is like putting your hand in fire and expecting it will not burn. And again, that's a quote from Self-Restraint versus Self-Indulgence by Mahatma Gandhi that Master had in his talk here. So Master continues, you will find that perhaps that the palate is the chief of all. Brahmacharya means, the word chaya means the course of conduct. And Brahm means God. So brahmacharya means to have a conduct of life adapted to the search for God. It is, therefore, the control of all the senses. And it will become easy to anyone who controls his passions, his palate. Diet has very much to do with our lives. Whatever sort of food you eat, you get that very same effect. If a dog is kept on mere vegetables, he will be very miserable. If you keep him on meat, he will be howling and growling. Any diet that flares up passions, we have to eliminate. Diet flares up passions, I tell you. Milana Rumi says, it is not love that arises out of eating bread, but love is of the soul with charity. Love attached with the physical body is called lust. You will find that animals observe brahmacharya more than men. When any animal gets sick, the first thing he does is not eat. There is also a time for their mating. And man has no special time. It is a pitiable state, I would say. That is why we are not born for eating, but eating is made for us, so that this body may be maintained. This body is the golden opportunity that we have. Maintain it. Keep it as long as you can. It is not for eating, but eating is made for you to maintain it, so that you may know God. Similarly, all the other organs of desire are required to be controlled. All masters have laid great stress on that very subject. These two things are especially important. What does it all mean? All these five passions practically mean the same thing. They hinge only on desire. To be desireless is to cut off, to exterminate the very root of other things. Many masters have come and said this. Lord Buddha said, be desireless. The 10th guru of the Sikh said in his own language, be desireless. And when you have no desire, there is no question of anger. What is anger? When you want to do something or have something, and someone appears to be standing in the way, either directly or indirectly, that impediment to the achievement of your desire causes anger. When there is anger, what happens? You cannot speak slowly. Take the example of a little rivulet or ordinary canal flowing through a narrow channel. When there is no impediment in the way, it flows on smoothly. But if you put a big stone in it, the water retards and shrinks against the stone, and two things happen. One, there is froth and foam from the striking, and the other, there is noise. Similarly, those who become angry cannot speak slowly. There is foam in their mouth. And when there is any wish, oh, I must have it. There is no reason why I should not have it. He puts in all efforts at having it. He makes parties, this and that. When he achieves it, he does not want to leave it. He is attached. This is called attachment. And then he enjoys it. So all five passions hinge on the one thing, desire. Out of these, as I told you, two are the most important, or the strongest ones, controlling us in the body. All masters have been saying that. They say, chastity is life. Here we lack very much. And sexuality is death. Those who are not married should observe strict chastity. Those who are married should regulate their lives according to what the scriptures say. And what they say, I've just laid out before you. The Mohammedan, in almost every scripture, says the same thing. So, quote, the abandonment of sensual desires draws the soul toward heaven, unquote. The more you control this, the nearer you are to God. Because on this very power depends the health of mind and body both. Your intellect, your brain, your physical body. They say that what you eat forms chyle. From chyle, the blood is formed. From blood, fat is formed. From fat come the bones. From bones, the pith in them. And from the pith, this thing is formed. How valuable a thing this it is. As I told you, animals observe chastity more than men. Men have no special mating times. All masters laid down any unchaste look, thought, or act. And all profanity of speech is declared to be unpardonable. We do not pay attention to these things. A perfect man must be pure in every word and every action in his own life. The Holy Spirit comes to him from the day he becomes pure. You know, the utmost necessity of being pure in thought, that is what, the utmost necessity of being pure in thought, that is why Christ said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, not others. The masters have been laying stress on this. Shankaracharya in the Hindu religion said, when a man follows the way of the body, true wisdom is not born within him. When you are attached to the sensuous way of living, where is the divinity? Similarly, lust and temptations are like the sharks in the river of life. Sharks, they eat up the man. Kabir says, lust and anger eat away the body, just as aqua regia, when put on gold, dissolves it. As the dawning of the day comes simultaneously with the passing of the night. So the dawning of true knowledge follows simultaneously with the dawning of control over the self. Do you see how important it is and how we have let these things loose? All masters, whether they came in one religion or the other, have been very particular about this point. And nowadays, how dangerous it is. Young men and women, I don't know whether you will take it ill or not. I have pity for the state of affairs we are having nowadays. They let it loose, going like anything. Wild animals running here and there. Marriage is a sacrament. It is not a contract, as I told you. St. Paul said, husbands should love their wives as Christ loves the church. This is the main thing. He who is affected by passions cannot attain liberation. This is what Shankaracharya said. Not one, but each religion says so. We belong to one religion or the other, though we don't follow his teaching. Fascination with the body is a great debt for him who is seeking liberation. I'm quoting you these things from the scriptures. They aren't my words. They are there in whatever religion you belong to. Chinese philosophy tells us to be guileless and pure, quote, to be guileless and pure. This is the way to nourish the spirit. When lust and desires are deep, the springs of the heavenly are shallow, unquote. What more do you want them to tell you? What are we doing? These things are given great stress, but people don't care. It's a pity. Buddha says, quote, I proclaim the annihilation of lust. I teach the doing away with lust. Nirvana means the subsiding of all human passions. When the inner fires of lust are extinguished, then one enters into the nirvana. This is the lesson of lessons, unquote. This is the most important thing and the most ignored. I tell you, when we were quite young and our brothers and sisters were born, we used to ask out of curiosity where they came from. And we were told, the midwife has left them here. Such innocent lives we had. Our parents had such chaste lives that children did not know where children came from. But now small boys know. Why? They see you. How can you expect that not to happen? The subject is most important and most ignored. Everything follows this. May I quote you history? History shows that when Napoleon, whose name was dreaded throughout the whole of Europe, was caught at Waterloo, he had fallen down in this way the night before. Indian history shows that Prithviraj had repulsed all invaders, but the day after they had fallen down in this way, the day after he had fallen down in this way, he was caught. Your own experiences show that when you go in for that, the following day you are not happy. Your spirits are down. Your eyes are sunken. Excuse me, but I have taken up this subject because some friend of mine was asking about it today. There was an article in the papers on this very subject. They are recommending all these things, whereas these are deadly against the highest principles of spirituality. So as I told you, control of the organs of sense is of the first importance. That is to have a life of continence. Lust attacks us through the eyes. Do you want to save yourself? Don't look into the eyes of others. Anger is flared up through the ears. How can you control it? Leave the place. The more you hear, the more your anger is flared up, and you won't talk slowly. You will go on talking loudly. And what will be the result? There will be foam in your mouth, and you will not be able to speak. Attachment comes through the skin. There are centers in the body. When you are attached to someone, your son or daughter, you hug him here to your heart. These are centers in the body. The human body is the highest in all creation, and we have it. If only we could withdraw. What is the best way to control it? Just control your tension. Withdraw it from the outside and bring it up to the seat of the soul, which is at the back of the eyes. This is the best way. When you have full control, this can be had by regular practice. Practice makes a man. You use your eyes and you may not see. With your ears, you may not hear. When will this be? When your attention is controlled. I tell you, Prophet Muhammad said about these two things. If you control two organs, the one between the two lips and the other between the two thighs, I am responsible for your liberation at the court of God. Tulsidas said the same thing. If you are truthful, have humility, and are chaste, if you consider others as mothers, sisters, and daughters, except for your wife, and that also for a while. Wives are not machines, mind that. Excuse me, I am a bit very clear today. They are not for that purpose. That is only one duty, not 100% of our duties. And he concludes, then I am responsible for you at the court of God. And Kabir said, quote, I will forgive all sins, not him who was unchaste. We have no chastity left anywhere. That is a pity. These are basic things that are flared up. Others follow. To achieve God is just to have a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You are always thinking. Simply sit down and listen to what others say. Either they will be speaking of unchaste things, excuse me, or with animosity. What does this do? Any thought I tell you, any intention that considers someone to be retarding us, to be putting an impediment in our way, turns into anger. That's all. So we must have a life of contentment. All masters say this is a necessity. All scriptures tell us to love God and to love all humanity. God resides in every heart. An ethical life is a stepping stone to spirituality. Although there are others, these are the two main things. Here we fail very much. You fail with the tongue if you have no control over your eating or what you're saying. Think twice before you speak. Will this word I am uttering carry an effect? If there's any controversy, quietly follow what the other one is saying. If you are angry, mind not. Never say anything. Keep quiet. These are the ways to save yourself. But the highest aim is another thing. If you have love for God, and God resides in every heart, and we are of the same essence as that of God, then naturally we have love for all and have no hatred. When you love anyone, you won't harm him. You won't usurp his rights. You won't tell lies. All things follow love. So God is love, and love is the way back to God. For the way of love, it is necessary for you to have a life of continence. This, I think, is the last talk I can give you. This was his last talk before he left in 64. I have been referring to these things in my talks and enjoining you to maintain your diaries. Perhaps you had been thinking that I was talking to someone else. This is the stony ground on which you can raise your building of spirituality. Otherwise, you're raising your building on sand. I think that the best I know and have found, I have given to you. Man's highest aim is to know God. And we should eliminate whatever retarding factors there are. Whatever are helping factors we should adopt in our lives. Whoever has to solve the mystery of life, naturally the day this question enters his heart is the greatest day in his life. This question cannot be stamped out. We must find the solution sooner or later. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Where fire burns, oxygen comes to help. Demand and supply is the law of nature. God sees, my child is after me. He makes some arrangements to bring you in contact with him, with someone who has known himself and who knows God. Who sees God, as I see you and you see me. And he tells you how to control these outgoing faculties. All outgoing faculties can be made to stand still if you control your attention. This is what the masters have always given out throughout yoga, the way of attention, of controlling the attention. The masters give you an experience of how to withdraw, how to analyze yourself, how to rise above body consciousness, how to be reborn. Except ye be reborn, ye cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is a matter of pure self-analysis. Blessed are you. With the grace of the God, you have been put on the way. Christ said to his disciples, blessed are ye who see things that the old prophets and righteous men could not see. Blessed are ye who hear things that the old prophets and righteous men could not hear. So you can see and you can hear. Is it not the greatest blessing of God? Go on further. just self-introspect your life like a strict judge, like a hard taskmaster. Don't spare yourself. And go on with your meditations. Weed out all imperfections and send your diaries at regular intervals. Have love for all. Love God. God resides in every heart. Those who do not love cannot know God. These are, I think, the best things I could give you in a few words. Tomorrow, the last day, I will be physically leaving you. Please keep in mind in your hearts and live up to it. The more you live up to it, the more you will feel blessedness within you. Remain in any religion you like. Religions are schools of thought to know God. I thank you all for cooperation and help extended by you, not in words, but in thoughts and deeds. You have been helping the cause of God. In other words, you have been helping your own selves and helping me. My best wishes are with you, and the God power is with you. He can never leave you. He will be extending all feasible help and protection to you. This was from a talk called On Lust and Anger, which was the last talk, public talk that Master gave on the Second World Tour in 1964. And you can find it in the Sats Handish 1975. And there's also a wonderful, wonderful recording of this talk, one of the clearest I've ever heard Master give, that you can find on the website if you search Master's Talks on Lust and Anger. I began also with The Light of Kripal, Some World Problems Are Beyond the Solution of Man. So thank you, Master, for allowing us to come and have your satsang and sit at your feet and imbibe the light and sound and the love that you have for us. Amen.
And thank you, Eric, for reading for us. There were 54 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So blessed you are, you have got the man body, and it is high time to make the best use of that. Be spiritual. Remain any. You may have any label you like. That is meant only to make you spiritual. To know the spirit in you. You are spiritual. You are spirit in God.